we were approached by the Pastoral Research Committee to come together and help better prepare us for the new pastor. So at this time, could we go to the Lord in prayer, please? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear Lord, for this day. But dear Lord, at the same time, our hearts are heavy for the ones that's been displaced. All the destruction from the hurricane. But dear Lord, we thank you for sparing us. Now, dear Lord, we're coming to the time in the life of this church where we're having to choose a new pastor to lead us in the direction that you would have us to go. Dear Lord, during this time, have our hearts prepared and ready. For the road of uncertainty that we'll be going down with new thoughts, new ideas. Make us receptive to your will, dear Lord, not ours. Be with us now as we present to the congregation what you would have us to say, not what we would like to say. Be with the ones that are not here this morning. Be with Jim Mullen as he's in Charlotte, started to get the brunt of the storm. But most of all, dear Lord, as I always say, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's a good, pretty good crowd for a nice, rainy, hurricane, tropical storm morning. It could have been a lot worse. But in talking to the Pastoral Search Committee, they had issues that they thought we needed to look at. And there was three main topics that they talked about that they would like for us to look at and maybe address some. One of them was perception. One was unity. And the other was being prepared for our new pastor. Getting ready. Our expectations from us. What do we expect of the pastor? And what does the new pastor expect of us? Sometimes all we hear in a church is the bad stuff, the grumbling. There's a lot of good stuff going on at New Hope that sometimes I think we don't realize. And we've invited some people to speak to show the good aspects of just certain things that's going on that you may not know about. So at this time, I'd like to call Scott Chalmers to speak. Next slide, please. Go on. There you go. Scott Chalmers will be speaking on youth and the mission trips.
Thanks for letting me know I'm going first, Ken. I'm going to speak briefly. You know, he talked about positive things going on in New Hope. And some of the things, personally, I've witnessed growing up here in this church and being fed spiritually is about the two things that I feel strongest about is youth and missions, domestic and foreign missions. I think Rick's going to speak on the community missions here in a minute. But it's been awesome being associated with the youth group. I'll speak on the youth group first. And I was in youth group here many years ago, and the impact it had on my life, the seeds that were planted in me many years ago, if I don't feel like I'd be here today if it wasn't for the activities and opportunities I had in youth group. I think we've also been blessed here at New Hope for many years and continue to be blessed with great youth ministers, from Wofford Kaufman that led me many years ago all the way to Brian Lockerme today. The opportunities have been excellent for youth here. And about six years ago, I was approached and asked if I'd like to work with the youth to help mentor, teach. I said, I'd never thought much about it. I don't know that this is my gift, but as God says, step out of your comfort zone. So I did, and it's been very rewarding. You know, seeing these kids grow up, and not speaking from little Mason Perry coming in, Mr. Scott, and I'm like, yes, Mason, to now, Mr. Scott, yes, Mason. It's more spiritually seeing him grow. If you saw him last Youth Sunday, he did the sermon for us. So many kids come into youth group and they sit and won't speak, they're so shy. And then you see them grow spiritually, come out of their comfort zone, lead dinner theater, lead solos, take leading roles. And people like Liz Britt that were invited one night to come, wasn't even attending a church regular, came with a friend to youth group one night. And the impact it had on her life, she continued, and as we now know, she's fallen in college, following her God's call to ministry. This summer, Taylor Edwards did the same with Brian and myself in Honduras. She shared that she feels like God is leading her into ministry, and she's listening to God's calling. Seeing this through the youth group here has been amazing, and the impact I think the youth have had on us, and the impact you've had on the youth group. I'm excited about the future of New Hope and the youth group. Speaking, transitioning over to missions, it goes kind of coincides in the impact of missions have had on the youth and youth have had on missions. But New Hope Baptist has always, from the beginning, back in the 1800s, have always been busy supporting and continuing missions following Jesus' lead. Last week, you heard Mike Green. Most of you were here and heard Mike Green, heard about the good things going on in Honduras. Spoke of recent 14 baptisms in Honduras. We support Paula Settle in Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. I get letters from her through the Mission Council of things that are going on in life she's impacting up there. And look forward to moving forward with New Hope Baptist Church and the positive things that mission is doing, not just for the people we go to serve, but the way it changes the lives and the hearts of people in New Hope. You know, lives are being changed. You know, several years ago, C.O. Weaver and Ed Green left sizable donations with the stipulation that interest from these donations goes specifically to missions. So we have opportunities going forward to continue to support missions, and I look forward to doing that. And I didn't know what John's sermon was going to be on this morning, but I did think about this last night, that we've continued at New Hope to follow Jesus' command in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Which says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. New Hope has done wonderful this. I see that New Hope is going to continue to do wonderful in missions and in youth group. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Now, Betty is going to speak to us about our teenage program here at the church.
Thank you, Ken. Good morning. I am president of the teenagers, and I think most of you know who we are. Our group has existed for more than 30 years. And we are a vital ministry of this church, and we faithfully serve. We usually have from 50 or more members at our meetings each time, and we are proud of that. There are several components to our teenage program. One is missions, which is priority for us. We are faithful contributors to Backpack Buddies, towards for Tots, school supplies and hygiene bags for Honduras, and school supplies for the New Hope Preschool. Those are just a few of the organizations we support. There are others that we support. Another part of our ministry is our Outreach-In-Reach program. Outreach is related to guests who are not members but potential members and people who come just visit from the communities. And of course, in-reach is related to our homebound, our members and those who are inactive and are unable to attend. We have a faithful team who visits these members, send cards, and consistently call them to provide any help that they may need. Another part of our program is the programs that we have when we meet on Tuesdays, second and fourth of each month. So we have speakers who come in to share their journey or their faith or their success in life. And we usually enjoy because we have a program committee who makes sure we have interesting programs. We have contributed over $4,000 in the last 3 years to various programs and organizations. So we are teenagers. We love, we serve, we break bread together, we travel, we enjoy life. There is no age limit. We are mentally keen most of the time. Sometimes we are physically handicapped, but we press on. You have an open invitation to teenagers.
Thank you, Betty. As you can see, the church, even though we like the teenagers, we are still a very mission-minded church, helping other people. And here, Rick will bring us about our community missions.
Okay, thank you, Ken. So I'm here to tell you what community missions and partnerships means to me. Being involved with community missions has been an opportunity for me to go outside of the church to serve and to build relationships with members of our community. It's a way I've been provided an opportunity to talk to people about New Hope and invite people to come and worship with us. Some of the ways that New Hope has done this, we have served dinner to the firemen at the Spring Forest Road fire station. We have had fellowship with them. We learn more about what our first responders do, and we have shown them our appreciation for what they do for our community. During National Night Out, we served snow cones, popcorn, and cotton candy to residents at the Oak City Apartments. This gave us an opportunity to fellowship with our neighbors there and invite some of them to come worship with us. At our annual Easter egg hunt, we present the Easter story each year, and we serve hot dogs to the residents of the Lexington Apartments. And during the school year, we help students in grades 1-5 with homework assignments, and we've built some really important relationships with those children. We are building relationships with people living and working right here in our community.
Thank you, Rick. And during this process of reaching out to the community, we're also showing the love of Christ has for people that really don't know him. And to hear New Hope Baptist Church name be brought up in just conversations outside this community that New Hope helps. New Hope did this for our community. So there's positive things going on where we're reaching other people. And at this time, Jennifer Strickland will talk about VBS. And if any of you were here at VBS, you saw 200 children and 30 to 40 youth at this church. Whether the seed, they're back here, you may not see them, but the seed has been planted. A part of what John's talked about, a discipleship that we need to look at, Father. But Jennifer will have more on VBS.
Thank you, Ken. I've been involved with VBS for several years now, different capacities, but the last 2 years I've actually directed it. So I wanted to give you a little breakdown of what has happened over the last few years and what we're going to continue to do. In 2015, there were 183 children registered. 141 of them were from the community, which is amazing. In 2016, we had 163 children with 99 volunteers here. In 2017, our highest attendance was 177 children with about 95 volunteers. This year, we had our highest night was 182 children with 213 kids registered. And as Ken mentioned, we had over 30 youth. Our little mini bus was full with children from Lexington when we picked them up. We also had a little different schedule by having a closing celebration on the last night on Friday and then a fellowship meal for all of the families and for the congregation on that last night. And it gave us a really good opportunity just to fellowship with them, get to know them a little bit better instead of just dropping off and running out. I think that was a huge success, and we're hoping to continue that next year. The preschool just started back up over the last couple weeks, and Lori has said these kids that came to VBS come in and they're still talking about it. And that was back in June. So we've obviously made an impact on them. We're continuing to outreach to these families. We send out frequent invitations to them for Sunday services, our Wednesday night activities, and then any special events that we have coming up. So we're constantly reaching out to these 200 plus families. If you volunteered in the past, I just want to personally thank you. Some of you might not realize the impact that you have, but it is huge. And I encourage you to continue to volunteer just so we can continue to grow this ministry that we do here in our community. I pray that New Hope will continue to disciple to these families in our community. And thank you.
Go back out front, you can. As you can see, we spread outside, not just inside this church. We do spread out. And that's what we need to do. That's a positive. Then we talk about unity. We've talked about unity before. What is unity? Sometimes I think we get caught up on unity of just being together. Just because I'm standing by somebody doesn't mean I'm unified with them. Unify doesn't always mean having my way. Unified doesn't always mean they have their way. It's just like a family. And that's what this is a big family. There's give and there's take. There's sitting down, there's talk, and there's listening, done in a Christian manner. Will things always go the way someone would like it? No. But does that mean we get mad at our fellow brother? No. How many of you have ever had a conversation with a spouse
or a loved one that there was disagreement. You come up with a compromise. You accept it, and you move on. You don't keep digging up the past of what happened before. Unity, we could talk on for an hour and a half. But unity, in my feeling, comes from the heart. Whether we have a contemporary service, whether we have a traditional service, or whether we have a combined service, we're worshiping the Lord in all of them. And that's the main point, is worship. So please, pray. Pray, and as Jack Coffey said, pray again. For your heart to accept unity and changes that you may not like, that would benefit the kingdom of God. Lots of times we don't know what is going on when decisions are made. And I will assure you that any decisions that are made at New Hope Baptist Church has been thoroughly discussed, committees discussed, and committed again. The conclusion answer you may not understand, but I guarantee you that all the pieces has been looked at, even for today. And sometimes we have faith that God will give us the answer. The decision was made today to tell Jim Mullins to stay in Charlotte for his safety purposes. Charlotte's expecting 10 inches. When I talked to Jim on Wednesday, this is something we started talking about at the earlier part of the week. He said, Ken, I was thinking about people down east that may need a motel room. I gave up my motel room for somebody, a family that may be dispersed. I'll drive up Sunday morning. Well, the way it was looking here yesterday, we were still expecting plenty of rain, and they were already closing churches in Charlotte. We felt like it would not be safe for Jim to get on the road, even if we said we had a place for him last night, to start driving last night in the weather, or this morning in the weather. So, very fortunately, I turned to someone I always turn to, John Jones, and got John to fill in the pulpit this morning. It was even discussion about whether to have this meeting today or not, for poor attendance. But when I look around, the attendance is fine. I've got to learn to have faith that the dear Lord will put people where He wants them. So now, it's our expectations that the pastoral search committee will find the pastor that Jesus and God wants for this church. But now, at this time, we're going to see a slide that showed, that you've seen before, of what we filled out, of what are your expectations of a new pastor. In looking at this, you're going to see our work of the chart that you've seen before. There's the chart, and I'm going to break it down. But I guess what's missing from this chart is they gave, when you were given what you thought you wanted of your pastor, things were already given for you. You didn't have a place to put exactly what you expected of a new pastor. So while I'm going through this, if anyone has anything that's not up here that they think would be for a good pastor, please come to the front mics and stand, and I'll call you. And just give, this is what I think it should be that I didn't give an opportunity to say. Okay, next slide. Okay. Effective preacher and speaker. Well, that's what we always want in a pastor. But as Jim Mullen said, I believe it was last Sunday, a pastor could come in here and preach every Sunday. You will not feel like he's preaching to you every Sunday. But he may be preaching to who's sitting beside of you. Sometimes our expectation is every Sunday, well, the preacher didn't say nothing to me. Maybe you weren't prepared to hear anything from the preacher that Sunday morning. Maybe your mind was somewhere else. Maybe the person next to you had a bigger need that God needed to talk to. So think about that. The pastor's not going to speak to you every Sunday. Be compassionate, caring, sensitive to others' needs. Yes, we need a caring pastor. But also, let's remember when we have a caring pastor, can he be everywhere at one time? That's what we have deacons for, to help the pastor, to be where he can't be at that particular time. So do not put all the expectations that the pastor needs to be everywhere all the time. He's a good leader, yes. But what makes a good leader? People that follows. People that listen. People that take his direction. People that give him a chance. How many of you have in your careers had a new supervisor? How long did it take you to get that supervisor to give them a chance to perform the job they needed to perform? If any of y'all were ever put in a supervisor's position, how long does it take to feel comfortable in that position? Do not expect him to come in as a good leader and all of a sudden everything in the church changes. That's an expectation that's not true. Encourages people to relate to their faith in daily lives. Yes. Maintain confidentiality. I think that's a given that we've always expected our pastor, if we went to talk to him, that he would keep what we said between the two of us. Mature emotionally and secure. I hope everybody's mature and secure, not just my pastor. Deals effectively with conflict. I spoke on that just a minute ago. Conflict is a listening part of life. To listen to the other side, to give wisdom to what that conflict may be. But if the disagreement, if one person disagrees from the other one, then you don't get mad, take your ball, and go home. Okay? But he needs to deal with the conflict of the church. And the church needs to deal with the conflict itself also. There's things that's going to be coming always that people are going to disagree on. But it's the mediation between the two to reach a resolution that everyone can live with. Continues theological and biblical skills. Yes, that's where we always need to make sure that our pastor is able to have continuing education that he needs to go to, different seminars. A helpful counselor, yes, he needs to be a counselor to every one of us. But it was said the other week, he needs to look after us all, but be only accountable to a few. Does everybody understand what that means? He needs to be responsible for all of our needs, but only accountable to a few. So that means that he should not, whatever he does, have to be accountable to every single individual. And sometimes I think that's what we do. That's our human nature. You're accountable to me and nobody else. Effective in planning and leading worship, by all means. Make pastoral calls on people in the hospital, nursing homes, and shut-ins. Yes, he needs to do that, but at the same time, with help of the deacons. Minister effective in crisis situations, yes. Build a sense of fellowship among people with whom they work, yes. All of these y'all chose in that order for your pastor. Does anyone have anything else they think of a pastor that has not been covered? Yeah, if you speak loud enough, I might be able to hear it and repeat it. If not, I'm going to need you to come down.
My thought is all you put up there, you never mentioned a praying pastor.
Right.
Well, soon. Right. And so my thought is a praying pastor is more real connected to the Lord and having the Lord direct him.
Okay, a praying pastor. There is a praying continuous to the Lord, so the Lord can tell him which direction to go. Okay, a lot of this I said is repetition. It's what you've seen before. But now, what do you think a pastor may expect of us? We've asked John to speak to this, since he is a pastor, and if he was a new pastor coming on board of a church, what would he expect of the congregation to help him fulfill his ministry?
Ken, I appreciate the opportunity this morning. You're probably going to get tired of my face if you were here this morning earlier. But I'm asked to address the issue of what are the expectations that the pastor has on us. If I were to show up, and every time I've ever been to a church, I was the founding pastor because there was nobody else there yet. I didn't have to ask for a lot from the people because I was going to build the people into the people that I would hope God would want them to be. But if I were asked to say, what would you want? And you move to the next, you got to skip ahead about three slides there. Next, another one. Oh, there it is. What would you think the pastor would expect of the church? I thought about this, and one of the things that I would say, which makes common sense, but it also it's important, is that they would give me some time to settle in. Instead of hitting him with, by the way, you need to take care of this and this and this and this, and just start loading him up. I think the first thing that I would want is a congregation that actually allows me a little time to get settled in and to learn a little bit about the routines of the church before you start asking a whole lot of him. Now, I do think that we can make people feel welcome by how we speak to them. I have sat over there at the 11 o'clock worship services many times and seen visitors come in and sit down and nobody speak to them. Now, they might have spoke to him in the foyer. I don't know that because I couldn't see from here. But how do we make people feel welcome has to do with how you greet them and what you say to them and how your body language speaks to that fact. So the reality is, how are you going to make him feel welcome is going to be the expressions of yourself. Smiles on your faces, a comforting word, a hope that everything's getting settled in correctly. I mean, there's so much involved. And so we would expect that we would also make him feel welcome. Then the question is, what would you want to do? What actually could you do to make him feel welcome? What could you do to make him feel that this is the place that God has called him to serve? I don't know what you might say. I'm trying to come from the perspective of a pastor, of being patient with him and learning the ropes. But also the reality of over expectations. You know, I think oftentimes it's been, what, almost 2 years that we've been without pastoral leadership at the church. That's a long time. And so there is a hope that we'll just sort of quickly kickstart everything and be back on track as we might would have been. And so I think the over expectations are a danger that we have. That's why we ask that we do this, so that we could sort of bring those expectations down, not expectations of what God's going to accomplish, but the expectations of the physical human being that's coming in and stepping in the role of pastor. Now, if you go to the next slide, these are some of the things that I thought of that might be helpful that you could do. So, and I don't know if you can see them. I should learn sometime. I made the PowerPoint, so I apologize for the smallness of the text, but maybe I'll learn them even bigger. But what actually can you do? Obviously, you can pray for him. We mentioned a praying pastor, but also a praying church. Praying for him and his family, asking God to encourage him, asking God to bless his efforts. He's going to come into a new field. What is it going to be like? Well, you can spend time praying for your pastor on a regular basis. You can also encourage him and his family by saying good things, positive things, encouraging words, glad that they're here, whatever it is, but you're making them feel encouraged by their presence here. Welcoming to both him and his family. Oftentimes we forget about that a pastor is part of a family group. And oftentimes the close role that a pastor has with his wife is one of the support network. And so we need to be encouraging her as well. Obviously, supporting him financially. Obviously, if we can't pay his salary, that's not much of an encouragement. So through the help of your tithing, then we're able to provide those funds. Also, maybe when he says we need some volunteers in this area or that area or this opportunity, take the opportunity to volunteer. Don't wait around to see, okay, if nobody else will, then I'll volunteer. I'm a perfect example of that. You ask me to do something, I'm on the list. I've been involved in Vacation Bible School this year. I've been involved in the Pastor Search Committee. I've been involved in the Transition Committee. I've been involved teaching Sunday School. I'm preaching today. I'm also involved with the efforts of my church work, my Sunday School classes. I believe in working in the church. And every one of you needs to be involved in the activity and the work of the church. We're here to serve is what the motto should be. Not here to sit. We're here to serve and to do what God wants us to do. So volunteer. Take an opportunity. Learn something new. You may not know how to run a weed eater. It's okay. I'm sure Rick can teach you or somebody. Also, speak positive about what is happening. It's very easy to go negative. We go negative so early in life. Oftentimes, we go negative very soon. And so give it time. Speak positively about what is going on and what is happening. My recommendation here, and this is again from the perspective of a pastor, don't look back, look forwards. We can spend a lot of time talking about what we did, what we didn't do, how we did it, how we didn't do it. That's in the past. The question is, what are we going to do looking forwards into the future? So you can help by also keeping your view looking into the future. And last, understand that he is, if he is a man of God, he is called here to serve New Hope. That's what he has responded to, a calling from God to come to this church. So see him as a servant of God coming to assist us in the task that we have before us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Go back a couple of slides. Okay, some of y'all heard this the other week. This is the perfect pastor. And see if you think we need this perfect pastor. He preaches for exactly 10 minutes. How many times do we look and all of a sudden it starts getting close to 12 o'clock and everybody's starting to look at the watch and start thinking, well, it's time to go on. He condemns sin around him, but never hurts anybody's feelings. He works from 8 until midnight, and he's also the church janitor. The perfect pastor makes $40 a week, wears good clothes, drives a good car, buys good books, and donates $30 a week to his church. Okay. He's 29 years old and has 40 years of experience. Okay? I've heard that we want somebody that's young with a lot of experience. Well, right there. That's what we need. Above all, he's handsome. He'd be good to look at in the pulpit every Sunday. The perfect pastor has a burning desire to work with teenagers, and he spends most of his time with the senior citizens. Okay? He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to the church. He makes 15 home visits a day and is always in his office to be handy when needed. In the past, I've heard a lot of times somebody come by and say the pastor wasn't in the office. I couldn't see him. Then I heard somebody say, well, the pastor's in his office. He didn't make any home visits. Okay? The perfect pastor always takes time for church council and all committees. He never misses the meeting of any church organization and is always busy evangelizing the unchurched. Just think they're putting too much expectations on their pastor. How can he be evangelizing people if he has to be in all committee meetings that is designated to other members of the church? The perfect pastor is always the next church over. The pastor does not measure up. Simply send this notice to 6 other churches that are tired of their pastor too. Then bundle up your pastor and send him to the church at the top of the list. If everyone cooperates, in 1 week you'll receive 1,643 pastors. One of them should be perfect. Have faith in this letter. One church broke the chain and got its old pastor back in less than 3 months. A little humor to go along with the seriousness of what we're talking about. And back what John said, expectations that we put on our pastor without giving them an opportunity to settle in. I've heard from some of the pastors in the past say, real nice last Sunday. I met all the people in the congregation. And that Wednesday night at supper, somebody walks up and says, you remember my name, don't you? No. That doesn't work. Okay? Give them time. Give them time. John, I don't know if y'all's exploration of a new pastor, sometimes it can take, 6 months to a year and a half for one to settle in. To know the ins and outs of your church. To know its people. So the main important thing is give them a chance. Okay, now Matt, is on the committee that's had a fantastic job of the pastoral search, okay?
Thank you, Ken. It's my honor to give the church an update. We've endeavored to provide sort of very, very regular weekly incremental updates. We've had a couple opportunities to give some more lengthy and verbal updates, and so it is my honor to do that for our committee today. As a reminder, the members of the 2018 Pastor Search Committee are Joe Powell, John Jones, who is our chair, Linda Horton, Liz Britt, Roger Sims, Stan Jenkins, and myself. The Pastor Search Committee has met as often and for as long as we thought would be productive, allowing time between meetings for individual prayer and review. In the roughly 6 months since we were elected, we've met, I think, 19 times now. Virtually all of our meetings have been at least 2 hours long. Most have been three, and we've had the occasional go 4 hours and longer. Combined with an estimated number of hours of independent time for each of the committee members, the committee has, we're estimating, upwards of about 600 hours invested already in finding the next pastor. Most of that's been reviewing resumes, discussing candidates, viewing and listening to sermons, and that sort of thing. We began our work by talking about our committee process and reviewing the materials provided by the transition committee, which we've reviewed some of now, but all of those materials, including the results of the listening sessions that were conducted by the outside consultant, to best understand what New Hope wants in a senior pastor, who we are as the church, and what we feel unifies us as a body of believers. We harmonized as best we could those results, along with our own experiences, to develop a senior pastor job description and to help us focus on candidate traits that New Hope has indicated are important, and to remove candidates from consideration who don't possess those traits and or whose strengths or passions don't align with New Hope as communicated through those materials. We began with over 200 names and resumes and are continuing to seek the final candidate from a greatly shortened list. Once we arrive at a final candidate, we still have work to be done. We have background checks, resume verification, discussions with the candidate, and then at that point they would potentially be approved by the committee for presentation. We have endeavored as a committee at all times to seek and discern the will of God through individual prayer, devotions, discussions, and personal reflection and study. We as a committee have been continually encouraged by the harmony within the committee, with the candidate pool as a whole, and the process that we have undertaken to discern the will of God as the committee sought the person we would invite before you to be considered. One of the first things we did as a committee was to share our testimonies, our individual personal testimonies, with each other. In many ways, the seven members of our committee are quite diverse. We have varying backgrounds, ages, conversion experiences, and the role that church played in our upbringing. I personally have very much enjoyed getting to know each member better, and I'm confident the other committee members feel the same way. I have been personally very impressed both with each individual's willingness to share and ask questions, but also that none of the committee members have sought to suppress other voices or to dominate discussions or decision-making. We have largely agreed through the process so far. We have had occasional differences of opinion, but we have shared those differences. We've talked through them, we made an agreeable decision, and we moved ahead, stronger and closer, for the discussion. Moving on to our search goal, you know, it should be obvious, but when we talked a lot about it and we prayed about it, we felt strongly that there is work yet to be done on this corner for the kingdom, and that a unified New Hope can do great things for Christ. Now, we have felt that finding a candidate that will make everyone happy is nearly impossible, and have instead focused on what we believe is our true purpose, which is finding the candidate that God would have us to call. As such, we must entrust that with humility and discernment, the church will consider the candidate that we bring, and that votes will be cast not on the basis of personal preference or comparison to an imaginary ideal candidate, but rather on the basis of agreement with the discerned will of God. Looking ahead, the committee feels that our next pastor is being called to New Hope to serve the interest of the members of New Hope, not alone, but also the pastor is coming to serve the kingdom through New Hope, and in so doing, lead our congregation in service, fellowship, discipleship, mission, and worship. As followers, the church will need to be willing to follow, to put personal preferences aside, to quietly accept decisions we may not understand, but in respect for the discernment behind them and the wisdom called of the person to make that decision. In closing, I've got some written words here. I'll still read those, but just I speak for the committee. We all love this church, and I'm getting emotional now, but we all love this church. We all love the great things in store for this church and the things that God will be using this church to do on this corner for many, many years to come. It has been a great privilege to serve with the six other members of the committee. I'm very excited for our future. As we get to our final candidate, I'm very excited to see who that is and share it with everyone. The Bible makes it clear that as followers of Christ, we are to be unified, and the committee believes that the selected candidate will need universal support from every member of the church, regardless of our personal preferences, preconceived notions, and perceived past transgressions. The committee would like to assure every member of New Hope that we love you all. We love this church. We love serving the kingdom of God with this church family. We have conducted all of our discussions and made decisions along the way with sensitivity to the needs, concerns, and preferences among our family, but hope nothing more than that God would be pleased with our service and to him be the glory. We have above all else sought to discern what our omniscient God desires for us, his church. As has been the case since its inception, the future of our 186-year-old church will be directly linked to our willingness to see beyond ourselves and follow Christ and his plan for New Hope. The committee is excited about our future and believes that great things lie before a unified New Hope Baptist Church when the church is willing to serve and not seek to be served.
Thank you, Matt. As you can see, everyone that served on the Pastoral Search Committee, the Transition Committee that's been in session for 2 years, one root that we all have is that we love this church. We'll do all we can do to keep this church afloat and moving forward as it has for many years. At this time, we're going to open up the floor for comments. Not a question and answer session, but for comments. We want to hear from you of what you want to say. Are there any concerns, and if you have them, or anything comments you would like to make, I'm going to ask you to line up again behind these mics to speed the process up. If anyone has anything that they would like to say that maybe we haven't addressed or that we would need to look at in the future, okay? I'm going to put this mic back in case somebody wants to come back on this side.
I've heard a lot that people said that they need an opportunity to speak. This is the opportunity. Don't feel shy or bashful. We're all family. Okay, Tim. Hold on. Let him turn the mic on. We need his mic on. Huh? Oh.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I was just going to mention about just petty complaints that come to the preacher, because every preacher that's left here has said people complain about blinds being open or closed or screens being up or down, and all this stuff is petty. It doesn't mean anything. And the blinds are never closed all the time or open all the time. The screen's never up all the time or down all the time. He has other things to think about and concentrate on other than hearing a bunch of whining.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Well spoken. Any other comments? Jerry?
Jerry Kuiper. Is it still on?
There you go. You just got to get close to it. You got to swallow it.
All right. My name is Jerry Kuiper, and thank you, Matt, so much for your words. They pretty much almost covered what I wanted to say, but I've heard about what we want. I'd rather know what God wants. I thought that was His church. I thought we were here to worship Him, not to find out how we can feel good about how we're being served.
Okay. What does God want for this church? Not what do I want for this church?
Okay.
Others. Any other comments or concerns? Much rather hear them in here than see them in the corner of the parking lot. Okay? Amy?
You might need a step stool for this mic. I think it's very important that as we approach this time of change, that we commit to ourselves and to the church to not compare this new pastor to the pastor that left. Like any relationship that's severed and goes on, it's important to focus on the new and to make sure that you're not comparing what was to what is. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. As Richard Wynn spoke several weeks ago, passing the baton. The baton has been passed to a new pastor. The new pastor is like a runner. He looks forward. You don't look backwards and compare it to the runner that just came up. If that happens, then how would the new pastor feel? How would you feel in a new job place if you were a supervisor and somebody always said, well, so-and-so did it this way, so-and-so did it that way? Well, it's a new person on the block. We need to listen of how God speaks through them to this church. Okay? Thank you, Amy. Anybody else? Oh, I thought all these people were going to speak, but it's choir members. Had my hopes up. Okay, Rick.
I'm Rick Boggs, and I have very positive feelings about this pastor search committee. I think we have a great committee, and I think that they are going about this in a very responsible way. And I look for them to find the man that God has chosen, and I have great expectations.
Thank you. Any others? We're about 10 minutes ahead of schedule. And you don't want to hear me talk for another 10 minutes, so. Okay. I'm glad that through all the past 3 to 4 months, all the concerns that I've heard that they want to speak out has been spoken. I just hope that someone doesn't have a concern that they're not sharing with their family. Something that may be gnawing at them or eating at them. Okay. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer and close. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time that you brought us here. dear Lord, discuss your kingdom here on earth. And it all boils down to what you taught us in the Corinthians, love. If we love each other as you would have us to love, if we would love our pastor as you would have us to love, then we will have your blessings. But dear Lord, when we look at each other as you've told us and find fault, find strife, pettiness, as any father that would see his children do that, I'm sure he cries. Dear Lord, have us to open our hearts through prayer to receive the new pastor that you have chosen for us, that you will have lead New Hope Baptist Church in the direction that you see fit. Not as we see fit, as a pastor sees fit, but as you see fit. Touch the pastor's heart, dear Lord, to be receptive to the phone call that he will receive. But most of all, dear Lord, have us to be receptive to the new pastor. Give him time. Give him space. Give him room to do his work that you will have him do, to glorify his kingdom here on earth in New Hope Baptist Church. Dear Lord, I thank you for all the people that go out on missions, whether it's foreign or here on our soils on this corner. And dear Lord, have us to be open to the idea, as John has brought to us, of discipleship and what it means. Thank you for all the ones here this morning. And dear Lord, be with the ones that weren't able to be here. We just lift your name up, dear Lord, and just say thank you, our Father, for all the blessings that you've given us and continue to give us. Now, dear Lord, have us to go on our ways to show the love and compassion to others as you have commanded us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.